Welcome back to Women's Magazine, The Space Between Us. I am your host, Javelin Richards, and I'm in the studio now. We're going to talk about the space between us, intimacy and sexuality, the space between us and the journey to both of those. And we're going to do that with experts. We're not going to just leave it into hands of Javelin, although I can truly take us there. I'm sure I could. Danielle Harrell is co-host of the series Somatic Sessions and the co-founder of the Somatic Institute of Sex and Relationship Coaching. Believe it there. And then Celeste Hirschman is co-host of the series Somatic Sessions and the co-founder of Somatica Institute of Sex and Relationship Coaching, and they've written a book together. They're going to tell us that. They're going to take us on the journey. And Tia is going to stay in here just in case a question pops up that she wants to ask you. I think, first of all, you say that when we say the word sexuality and intimacy, a route to ourselves, the word itself is explosive. I'm sure you've known that in your journey. You've found that out. You say sex and everybody, the world either stops or it starts to spin. So listening audience, I want you to think about it. Intimacy, sexuality, the route to yourselves. Again, the number to call, we'll open the phone lines about 10 minutes, is 510-848-4425. Tell us about your work.
Well, our work is really experiential sex and relationship coaching. So what we do is we go into vulnerable connection with our clients, and we also help our students learn how to do that because they're going to become sex and relationship coaches. And we use that vulnerable connection to help people increase their skills around erotic connection and emotional connection. So it's a very interactive, in-depth process of self-discovery.
So let's start with the why. Why did you two come up with this here? And how will it impact the space between us in our lives and get us closer to ourselves and to one another?
Yeah, so we started this work because we really felt that people look at sex as this thing that is the kind of like an exchange or something that they do with a partner, but they don't realize the power that the sexual energy has for themselves as self-care, as Tia was talking about, you know, like as a way to go back to yourself and really be empowered and connect with this life force inside you.
So you see sex as a life force.
Yes.
And that if it's, we're disconnected from that, what does that do to our life?
We're kind of like walking heads. And then most of the decisions that we get come from almost like idea of what we should do, but not really embodied from what is really good for us or what do I really want.
So you, what I'm hearing is you're actually taking the word sex in itself and you're redefining it. That it's not this thing that we do or we're going to do at some point in our life or we need to do or we don't want to do. You're taking it to another definition of us to consider that it is a powerful life force that's within us. That is meant to do a lot more than just an exchange of body.
Yeah, it's our empowerment, it's our desire, it's sort of like what drives us to get what we really want out in the world. And I think when we're taught to disconnect from it, especially as women, we're taught to disconnect from it because of all of the slut shaming that goes on and sort of like, that's not for us, it's for others, right? That it disempowers us in every area of our life. And when we reclaim our sexuality and we reclaim our connection to our desire, it helps us feel alive and motivated and inspired as in every, you know, as parents, as workers, as in every area of our life, basically.
How did you, I mean, what took you into being interested in this yourself?
Personally, I was just a very sexual young person. Like, I was very interested in sex. I didn't get a lot of shaming as a young person. My parents were hippies, and so there was a lot of relaxation around bodies. They were still, you know, it was the 70s, so people were a little bit uncomfortable around sex, but at least bodies were not shamed. And I just sort of loved to talk about sex. I loved the energy exchange of flirtation, and I knew it was something that I was really comfortable with, and I felt like I could help people with it. So from a pretty early age, I knew it was what I wanted to do. And then, you know, I went through all of the process of getting my degrees and meeting Danielle and creating this method. But it came from that, my own erotic desire being very strong.
And Danielle?
I also started with a really, really good, strong erotic desire. And I wanted to be a sex therapist when I was a teenager. And my parents were very policing and shaming around many, many, many fields, but not so much about sex because they didn't talk about it. It was great.
That's a nice concept to think about. They didn't police because they didn't talk about
it. So in my case, it was great. I didn't know the route to get there. But then as I, you know, I studied therapy and I studied social work and I got my master's. But then, like, when I moved to the U.S. with my family, I really wanted to go back to those places. And I came through it again through childbirth. I was I studied childbirth education. I was pregnant with my daughter. And I really, through those studies, I realized how much women are disempowered around childbirth and around owning their bodies and around, like, owning their power in through childbirth. And also, like, no one talks to you about the connection between childbirth and sex. They do tell you that you get pregnant through sex, so be careful, but they don't tell you, oh my God, you can use your sexuality to as a force to help you give birth. So that's how I got into
Alice
sex,
Walker speaks about it, and I think it's the Temple of the Familiar, that in some countries, and you've read the where they actually, the women around you doing birth will rub the inside of vagina, whatever medical terminology, like turn you like you're a gynecologist. And they rub the inside with some type of cream, and that the woman can orgasm and help the baby come out.
Because all those functions of orgasm are not, they're actually functional for women. They're not just this luxury, you know, and they're functional for childbirth. They're functional for us women to feel better about ourselves. But even for childbirth, they help the baby move along. So, and
give us, so first of all, I went to the website and I had a chance to watch a few of the videos that you have with your clients. So where, tell us how the listening audience, if you're listening, we're talking about the journey towards intimacy, sexuality, a route to ourselves, and how the disruption of our understanding of our sexual presence in the world as women has been disrupted maybe through childbirth or slut shaming or no one even talking about it, but that there is a disconnect and how you can reconnect yourself to that and to move in the world more erotically, more connected. And so my guests have teamed up. What's the book that you came to, that you co-wrote together?
We co-wrote two books. One of them is Making Love Real, which is for couples, and another one is called Cockfidence, which is for men on how to be true to themselves and better lovers.
Cockfidence, C-O-C-K, Cockfidence. Just in case it got mixed up on the airwaves. The number to call is 510-848-4425, and the phone lines are open as of this moment. And again, I do know that the words, and I'm speaking it such that sexuality, sex, and intimacy are those explosive words, and I want them to be. Because I think that it's something we do need to be able to discuss. So going to the video that I saw, one of the things that, from what I understand that you do, is that a person will come to you, and I found this intriguing. They come to you, and they spend time, and they may talk about places where they're getting stuck inside of their own life, emotionally and sexually, with a partner, maybe, and that you may possibly, at that point, when the questions, you hold them. There's intimacy that's taking place, right?
Right.
And that you hold them close. You put your hand on their heart. It was very, very intimate and warm and loving and tender, all the things we associate to that type of closeness. One of the things you say, and I don't know which one said it on the video, one of your clients was saying that their partner wanted something. And they were having a hard time addressing it. And the response to the client was not so much as the request of their partner, but think about what they could get out of fulfilling that request. Did I hear that right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's so important for people. They often come in and think, well, like, I have to make my partner feel good, or I have to. But if people don't come to sex with, like, what's in it for me and what do I want and what's going to really excite me about this experience, their partner doesn't actually get to feel their erotic energy. So we definitely want people to get inside of themselves and know what they want as a gift to themselves and their partner, because that's what creates the circuit. If everybody's bringing their true desires and we're communicating about them and we're learning them and we're practicing them together, then the energy can get really high.
Okay, we have a caller Lisa on the air with a question. Join us at the river. You have a story that deals with intimacy, sexuality, your route to yourselves. Join us. Hi, Lisa.
Hey, Javelin. Thank you.
Hi, so, Lisa.
I just want to mention asexuality because that's something I have felt postmenopausal, and I've also interviewed many people who actually have always felt asexual and are really trying to stress intimacy more. And that I have also noticed that nowadays young women feel more pressured to be sexual, and that there's a term which they had in Time magazine about women for whom sex is only of interest via intimacy, and that's a special term. It seemed to be very interesting that that's kind of like the norm now, that for women who want to have intimacy prior to sex.
You think that that's, so are you saying that this is a new thing that's going on?
Yes, the young women are feeling very pressured to be sexual by men, and if they're not sexual, then they're considered, you know, something's wrong with them. The desire to have a relationship is seen as problematic. It's more about hookup culture. Those two things, the asexual on the one hand, and yet this also this pressure to be sexual. I'm interested to see what your guests have to say about that.
Thank you, Lisa, for joining us at the river. And I'm particularly interested in Lisa's story where she say that she's feeling asexual and happened to her after menopause. And so if she was to come to you as a client, how would you work with that?
Yeah, so I think women definitely go through different hormonal changes as they shift through the cycle of life. But on top of it, there's a lot of, because of slut shaming early on, and because women are not actually feeling the right to their own sexuality, and they always feel like they need to give it to someone else, so it's something about the relationship. Women don't spend a lot of time cultivating sexuality as a self-care process or something that is good for them. So when the hormonal support is gone, and for some women, it doesn't actually impact them as much. Some women feel okay after menopause, but many women do feel the hormonal, you know, like hormonal support is gone. They're like, oh, I don't even know where to start. And when we work with clients,
So when you say they don't know where to start, what does it mean?
They don't have any access to the sexual route. Okay, because they did not spend a lifetime developing this as a language of connection with themselves. Mm. And because the message that we got is that sex is for someone else.
So the hormones is not driving it, which the hormones are driving it early on in sexual being. So that's, you don't even have to do anything. It's just there. Suddenly you're just sitting in a room and you're just like, oh my God, my nipples are hard. I'm juicy, juicy.
Right.
Kind of a vibe, right? Mm-hmm. And you're saying,
if you let yourself acknowledge that, because
if you
women,
even let yourself, yeah, or if you do just, feel it, you're just, yeah, then you feel shame. Right.
Right?
Yeah. And so you're saying that when the hormones are gone, if a woman, a person were connected to their sexuality, their sexual power, they would probably know where to begin. Hormones are gone, but here's another way I'm going to enter this door.
Or even like look at it as something that's not only about relationship, but yes, exactly as you said. And then like they will explore. If that was like a lifelong practice, mm-hmm, they would learn how, they will need to change things and navigate it because it's not the same high as they had when they're like 19 and not the same high as they had when they're 35. But even within one cycle, women feel ups and downs in arousal, but learning to really cultivate the self-care and connection to their sexuality is something that's like for me, really for me and not for someone else. And giving women permission to do that is the most powerful thing.
And I want to just add, because I want to honor that there are people who, once they go through the process of trying to see if they have sexual desire, are asexual. So it's not to say that there aren't asexual people or that people don't end up that way. But and our job isn't to make people sexual. Our job is to help people connect with their true will and follow it.
True will and follow. And I think that's important. So you're listening to Celeste and Danielle. We're talking about intimacy, sexuality, a route to ourselves. And also Tia's here with us. The number to call if you want to join us at the river is 851-510. 848-4425. Tia, you have a burning question.
Yeah, so, I mean, I had a question with regards to sexual self-care, and I think that it's great that you're talking about it and you have books about that, and I think not a lot of people are very aware of it. Again, you know, wanting to break that stigma of self-care, people think it's very superficial, but I recently taught a workshop on, you know, pelvic floor empowerment, and I feel that sexual self-care is a huge aspect of it, so I'd love to hear, like, what are tools or how do you teach some of your clients how to do self-care for their sexual being? Like, how do you teach them, or what do you do for your sexual self-care?
Oh, go for it.
Yeah, my housemate jokes that I live on salmon and orgasms. Orgasms are my number one form of self-care. If I don't have them regularly, I feel depressed and listless, and when I have them regularly, I just feel so much more alive and relaxed, and kind of any problems that come my way, I can handle it. So they're definitely my main self-care. And, you know, for people who aren't connected to themselves in that way, we really start with self-connection. A lot of times people come in, especially women, they come in, they say, I want to have better sex with my partner. But we have to help them first reconnect with themselves. You know, how do they like to touch their own body? How do they need to breathe in order to feel more alive and connected? How do they want to move their bodies or make sound that helps enliven that? What are their fantasy lives like? You know, do they have a fantasy life? Have they ever gone out and tried to discover something about sort of what psychologically arouses them? So we're looking at all of those aspects and really helping them build themselves a foundation of eroticism from the ground up. Then they're ready to share it with a partner.
A little bit like if someone would want to, if we know that exercising is good for you, right? So if someone would come to me and say, like, hey, I want to build muscle, right? So you need to start from the basics. That's how we treat connecting with your desire. We start with the basic and we help people really grow it in a very systematic way.
So this is a lot of a wonderful information. So let's slow it down so that for my listening audience, what I want them to be able to do is actually imagine if someone is listening and they want to understand the power of their own sexual desire and open that wonderfulness, and they come to you. What is a session like? Hello, and then what happens?
Hello, and many times It is really helping them connect with their own body first, as Celeste said, breathing in, connecting with the body, starting to notice like how it feels like if they make sound. Sounds are, our voices are very connected to our pelvic floor.
Our voices are connected to our pelvic floor. What do you hear when you hear someone in front of you? You know, if we were doing live, I would actually have them work with you, Tia. I would.
Yeah.
Right. So a person comes, they're talking to you and they're breathing. What information are you two gathering?
We're gathering information about whether they allow themselves to breathe fully and make sound, or they're shy and feel embarrassed to make sound and don't even use the sound as for example, sound is one of them. You know, self-touch is another one. So what we do, because we're experiential, we really sit with them and give them example. We demonstrate ourselves, and then we invite them. And if they breathe very silently, I encourage them using my own breath, making sounds while they are breathing. And eventually they sometimes join me. And if they don't join me, I make louder sounds a little bit. And then eventually,
take us through a breathing, me and Tia, through a breathing. I know we'll do it in a way that we don't shock the airways, like the sound effects, but take us through it.
Yeah, so what you want to do is just sit and kind of, you can close your eyes or keep them open, whatever feels more connected to you.
Tia, I should have asked your permission. Are you comfortable with this?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you start.
No, I've been doing a lot of work myself on sexual self-care.
All right, so our listening audience, you can join us at 510-848-4425. We're about to go into breathing into our own sexual health, okay?
Yeah, and then you take a breath into your chest, and you might even put a hand on your chest if you want to feel the connection to your body more deeply. And you let the breath expand and relax your chest. And just start to feel the inside of your body becoming more open and soft and receptive. And then you take another nice, slow, deep breath down into your belly. Maybe you want to put a hand on your belly. And let the belly expand into your hand as you're breathing in and out. And then start to bring your conscious awareness all the way down to your pelvic floor. Again, you can put a hand on your pelvic floor if you feel like that will connect you more deeply.
And as she continues to talk, I'm going to explain what I was experiencing. Go and keep taking Tia to it.
Feel the breath coming all the way down into your
pelvic
floor.
As I was experiencing that, I actually began to pay attention to my own heartbeat, and I still haven't opened my eyes,
just
which is
feel
really nice.
The pelvic floor soften.
And
as
then
you breathe into
when I put
it.
My hand on my stomach, I became aware of the movement of my stomach pushing against the palm of my hand.
And if you want, you can let the breath come out with a little bit of sound through your throat, like
and then listening to their breathing, I began to hear the sound of the ocean, right? And then when she said to the pelvic floor, I literally felt my vagina, my that part of my ear, the tinglingness became aware of that.
And if you want to increase the tingling a little bit, you can even squeeze the muscles in your pelvic floor, like you're stopping yourself from peeing as you're breathing in.
And I hope some of you out there are joining us, 510-848-4425.
See if you can let that tingle move up through your whole body.
Yes.
Let a little more sound out from your throat with the next squeeze. And that's how we start to get connected.
Yes. If you joined us out there in listening land, Shalesh and Danielle is taking us through intimacy and sexuality, the route to ourselves, and how empowering to know who we are within that and to navigate the world. And to move from that space of empowerment, the joy, the secrets of our own sensuality. Tia, what did you experience?
I mean, for me, just because this is something that I have been working with, actually, with a sexual health coach.
And you're working with a sexual health care person?
Yeah, I have. And yes, I mean, she's absolutely right. I mean, just the movement of the breath is really the first way to start to really connect, you know, the voice with the pelvic floor. And, you know, as I started, I didn't even realize just how much I was already clenching and holding. And then just with that exhale, letting the breath out, it was kind of that awareness of okay, I'm holding down there and being able to allow that to relax and let go. And then
where's
that,
down there? Are you talking about your kneecap at this point?
No.
Say the
words. My pelvic floor.
Okay. Just wanted to check. Vagina, your pelvic floor down there.
Yeah.
Down there. Be careful down there. All right, we have Adams. Not yet, they're screening. All right, so in the last few minutes, we have about 3 minutes. And appreciate you walking us through that journey, and I'm sure that some of our listeners actually had an opportunity to breathe inside and close their eyes and take a moment for their sexual health right today, so that was really good. How do people get hold of you, and where are the classes that you hold? Tell us that information.
Well, we're really excited. We have an intro to our core training, which is a year-long training that happens once a year that starts in April. And our first intro is September 28th here in Berkeley from 4 to 6 p.m. And you can sign up on our website, which is somaticainstitute.com. That's S-O-M-A-T-I-C-A. Institute.com.
We have Veronica on line one. Hi, Veronica. Thank you for joining us at the River. I'm your host, Javelin.
Hi, thank you. I've been thinking about this, so it's just really funny that I turned on the radio and this was a topic. But yesterday, actually, I just kind of stumbled upon a disorder, a hypoactive sexual dysfunction disorder, and I've been feeling that lately. But I also have gone through a lot. I also, I wouldn't say struggle, but I kind of identify with being on the ACE spectrum. So I'm just kind of curious with how to go about that, because I've been feeling like really low and frustrated lately.
Okay. Thank you, Veronica. So we have about a minute to address that, but also too, Veronica, I think I'm going to do a follow-up show with Shalice and Danielle, because this is way too important. I think it's more than just this, okay? So how do you speak to Veronica?
Yeah, so she's dealing with low desire, and I think so many women are dealing. It's the number one thing that women are dealing with when they come into our offices. And firstly, I just want you to be super gentle on yourself and stop beating yourself up, because this is not your fault. Our whole society says it's not okay for you to be sexual. So I really want you to take off the pressure and just know that it's going to be a slow process. And if you can be kind to yourself and get help and support, then you can start to connect with this part of yourself and have more of this kind of pleasure in your life.
All right. I want to thank my guests. This has been a really wonderful show. I hope you agree with me here at the River today. It's been wonderful. I'm also going to even, as I said, I'm going to have Tia do some segments that as I'm moving around in the world traveling. But also, after we get off this here show, I'm going to ask you two to possibly be coming and host while I'm traveling a live call-in show.
Yes.
They're nodding yes.
Sure.
And I want you to email me, my listening audience, at sugars982@gmail.com if you would like to have Shalice and Danielle to live call-in show dedicated to your sexual intimacy, period. Thank you for joining us today. I've been your host, Javelin, The Space Between Us.